Let's take a moment to talk about our sponsor.
You're a new DM who wants to jump behind the screen. Maybe you've been volunteered by your gaming group, but aren't quite ready. You've been watching people play games online or on podcasts, and you're thinking to yourself, where do they come up with all that descriptive narrative? There's no way I can do that. Well, don't worry. We've got a solution for you. What if I were to tell you that I can put a team of professional writers alongside you at your desk while you're prepping your game? Sounds pretty good, huh? With Describe, we can do just that. These narratives vividly describe monsters, places, spells, people, you name it. It's there. And there are more than 6,000 of these easy to search up, copy, and pasteable, beautifully written narratives right at your fingertips. Confidently read these narratives aloud in your campaign and impress noob and veteran gamer alike. And the best thing about it is the library of narratives is constantly growing and it's affordable. Describe has graciously provided us with a discount for our listeners. Head on over to describe.com/DMD. That's DSCRYB.com/DMD. Use the code DMD at checkout to try Describe for 2 weeks for free. Links will be in the show notes.
And now, back to the show. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Dungeon Masters Dojo podcast. This is a show for game masters and players alike. We hope to bring you tips and tricks to elevate your game and develop the art of dungeon mastery. I'm your host, Louis Aponte, and these are your Dungeon Masters, Scott Labby and Bill Robitaille. Let's head to the dojo and see what they have in store for us today.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Scott.
What's up, boys?
How are you?
Not bad. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
It was a rough day, but we're now here. I was able to leave work and crawl into the bowels of the Lyceum and bask in the dust, the candle vapors, and...
and other bowel materials.
That's all, Scott.
And bask in the glory that is my podcasting partners.
That's all me.
That's what nice sounds like, Lewis.
That's what it sounds like when I drink before you get here.
Whatever it takes.
He needs another one.
Have you been watching Stranger Things? You probably finished it, right?
Yes, I have.
Things season 4? Yeah. Yep. What do you? I think it's the best season ever. I have an Eddie Munson theory.
What is your theory?
My theory is Eddie Munson's going to come back. The reason why is, and we did an episode on this a couple years ago.
Okay.
Vecna's right-hand man was Cass.
Yep.
Who was a vampire.
Yeah.
Vampires have to do with bats. Bats did Eddie Munson in. Eddie may come back as a Cass-like person, have his redemption arc where he slays Vecna with, I don't know, maybe a sword, right? Sword of Cass was a weapon. At least that's what I hope for because I really like that character.
I liked Argyle.
Argyle was pretty cool.
Yeah, I was recently asked by a young person, well, in the 80s when you were playing D&D, were you more like Eddie Munson or were you more like Argyle? And I said, well, in dress... I was a little more like Eddie Munson. Everything else was a lot more Argyle.
I can attest to that.
So, in the 80s, I was exactly like I am now.
Yes.
Crotchety.
He was 60 in the 80s.
Well,
I remember.
Maybe quite that young. So, but yeah. Thank you. I appreciate you giving me a nod there.
So are we talking about the new Unearthed Arcana?
Wonders of the Multiverse. I feel like it should echo. Wonders. Wonders.
I would have did it but in the editing, but you already did it, so we'll just leave
it.
Well,
you can, like...
it's easier.
Yeah, all right. yeah, we have entered into the multiverse in yet another genre, right? Lou was just listing the seemingly endless list of multiverses out there, and D&D has caught multiverse fever.
It is the flavor of the moment, year. Month, the year.
Yeah, everything.
Everything's multiverse.
I'm okay with that. I mean, you want to do a multiverse, that's fine.
Well, I know way back when the Manual of the Planes came out.
Yep.
Yeah, it was all about jumping from plane to plane in multiverse. Yeah. And of course, we called it plane jumping back then, but you know now it's just multiverse. But yeah, it was that ran for a good two, 3 years until something else cooler came out, and we jumped on that one. But
yep.
And everything is new again.
It seems like they're setting up for something.
I had a hypothesis, but we'll go over that at the end.
Oh, we don't want to hypothesize right now?
No, no.
We don't want any spoilers. Just stay tuned to the end for Bill's hypothesis on where they're going.
That's no one's going to stay for that, but I'm going to wait till the end anyway.
Of course they are. Unearthed Arcana, Wonders of the Multiverse. We get a new race.
Yep. Right?
We get a cleric subclass. It sounds pretty cool. And some backgrounds, some feats, and some spells. This is a good-sized UA. It's 12 pages. Yeah, yeah, it's a nice-sized UA. I like it.
Well, yeah, more often than not there. Well, I mean, they covered a lot of material in this one, too. But
yeah.
Normally, it's an abbreviated version. It's 3-4 pages, maybe 5, but...
This has
got some meat on the bones on this one.
And it sounds promising. I hate Wizards of the Coast because Wizards of the Coast, they're putting out all these books now.
And you buy them.
And I buy them.
And you hate them.
And I hate, you know, it's like I hate to push a man for pushing their stuff on me. But I'm going to keep coming back and buying it. I don't know why.
You have a disease just like the rest of us.
I do. I have an illness. I'm not seeking help for it. I probably should.
You better hope for group therapy, and it's just going to break out to a D&D session anyway.
Yeah, and they're
going to be like, gaming session, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, hey, do you have this book? And I'd be like, yeah, of course I have this book. I have every book for 5th Ed.
And now, but see, he hates him so much, but yet he pushes him on Bill.
He does.
He does.
Whether I ask for it or not, it just shows up and goes, by the way, you owe me money.
Yeah, we have to.
Just like a dealer.
He is.
Yeah. Why am I vilified in this? How about Jeremy Crawford for peddling all this stuff on us?
You're peddling it toward Bill.
I'm old and feeble.
So you're working
an old
for
man.
Jeremy Crawford.
We need.
You are working for Jeremy Crawford by pushing it toward Bill.
Yeah, I want to raise Jeremy Crawford.
They'll give you a raise.
Yeah.
Double what you're getting now.
Yep. 2 zeros instead of 1. In AD&D, that meant something, though.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, true, true. So shall we
continue?
Let's go over a couple
things. Dive into it. Do we have to go over creating your character? It's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing over and over. They changed the names, you know, of the different races and stuff just in the classes. But yeah, we don't have to go over that.
And languages, that's, creature type.
Yeah, we don't have to. Let's go right into the brand new...
Yeah. Take it away with the Glitchling.
The Glitchling. Created by forces of planar law, Glitchlings are winged human-like creatures made from a merger of magic and machine. These explorers seek to learn all they can about the multiverse and its creatures. Some Glitchlings then carry what they learn back to the lawful planes, like Mechanus.
One of my favorites.
To inform the orderly workings of the multiverse, others become enamored with the travel and its peoples they encounter, and they seek to make a life of their own among the planes. Glitchlings begin their existence with rudimentary personalities. As they absorb information and experiences, their personalities grow, but many retain quirks associated with their lawful origins. You can roll once again on the ever-present D6 chart to find a orderly quirk.
Which are, they're pretty neat. I can't help but think of, you know, gosh, I'd hate to encounter a Glitchling cube in the middle of wild space, you know? And then you know you're in deep shit, right? Because as we're all aware, resistance is futile. And you'll be assimilated.
I think maybe you're getting a couple genres confused there.
No, listen.
Slight mix there. It says with wings. You're going to have a winged cube?
No, just a winged Glitchlings.
Yes.
No wings on the cube. You don't need it. They're in wild space.
Well, then it wouldn't be a Glitchling,
would it?
I think
he's saying that would be their ship.
Yeah.
Oh,
the Glitchling cube.
Oh, the Glitchling cube. So that's where you're going with that.
And every Spelljammer vessel needs their own Commander Data Glitchling with a cat named Spot or Spock, whichever one you want.
You hear that?
What?
Laughter.
Not with you.
Come on, this doesn't sound like science fiction. Of course it does. It
sounds like science fantasy.
After Bill and I were just talking, I think Terminator when I see this.
Yeah, a little bit of Terminator with little fairy wings. That would be cute.
Yep. Elon Musk, he warned us about this.
About?
You know, artificial intelligence and stuff like that. I wonder where their home world is. What do they look? What does it look like? You used to have carbon-based life forms on until the glitchlings took over. Then, done. I mean, it seems cute, you know, when your glitchling has this quirk that they collect things.
Yes, you know? Number one.
Maybe it's human things. Spines, yeah, you know, yeah. Or I seek out new experiences, right? So I can better understand the freedom of my existence. Commander Data explored humanity quite a bit. Very Pinocchio-like.
I can't believe you went over number two. We think of ourselves as being a part of a collective.
I was saving that till the grand finale. Yep.
Doom in order.
Collective. Come on, these things are dangerous.
Oh, geez. I preface things by I say with a short description such as
query. Fascinating. Intriguing.
Intriguing.
I plan elaborate responses to every contingency, ready to execute at an instant's notice. That came from assimilating Vulcans. And I investigate people's intentions behind their actions, trying to solve the equation that guides them.
This all sounds kind of Vulcanish.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I get it, right? You're trying to get everybody. Let's unite the nerds because, you know, now there's all these different nerd factions there weren't before. You know, there's the Star Wars nerds, Star Trek nerds.
Well, there's always been the Star Wars.
And yeah, Star Trek but nerds. I think before the war, we got along pretty well. And then there was that, you know, the Star Wars, Star Trek war, several small ones, but.
Skirmishes.
Yeah. The Trekkers won, by the way, if you must know.
We have Lucas's heart scrolled away somewhere.
Gene Roddenberry slew him in a duel. You're a construct when you're a glitchling, much like a warforged. Pretty standard stuff, armored plating. You have metal skin that's reinforced with armored plate. Gives you a base armor class of 14 plus dexterity, which is pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
Right? This next one is pretty interesting.
Balance chaos. When you make a tech roll or a savings roll and roll a 9 or lower on a d20, you can balance chaos and treat the roll as a 10. You can balance chaos in this way a number of times equal to your proficiency bonus, and you regain all expenditures uses when you finish a long rest. So 9 or lower. Oh, I rolled a 2. Nope, it's a 10.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty neat.
Depending on your pluses,
that's
the difference between a miss,
you
know,
and a hit.
Or fail and a hit, you know, so... Interesting. Living construct, very similar to the Warforged. Ordered mind, vestigial wings.
You get a flying speed equal to your walking speed, which isn't bad until the end of the turn. You fall if you don't land. So that's that could be interesting, you know, for a player that's not really on top of their A game or forgets that they're aloft.
I don't know how you could forget, but I bet you people will forget.
Oh, yeah, all the time. All the time.
What do you think of it? I think it's like an automaton or, what did I say earlier?
A cyborg.
A cyborg.
Yeah.
It's like a magical cyborg.
A learning cyborg.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a living, well, it's android, right? Because I think it's a construct, so there's no biological material there.
Yeah, actually there is. You're a merger of magic and machine. The explorers, are winged human-like creatures made from a merger of magic and machine.
Yeah.
So a magical being and machine.
No, just a merger of magic and machine. So the power and the sentience probably comes from the magic.
Okay, so it's a little bit more like a Warforged than...
Yeah, it's an android, basically.
Yeah.
It's a... science fantasy android. Very.
What was wrong with the Warforged?
I don't think anything's wrong with the Warforged. I think you could do a lot with
the
Warforged.
Does it seem like they're trying to reinvent the wheel?
I think they are.
I don't think so. I think the Warforged is really primarily, well, was up until as of late, was pretty much Eberron-based. This is all space-based.
Yeah. But it seems very similar.
Yeah.
You know, and Warforged have their place in Eberron, certainly. But... you know, maybe that's where they are called Warforged, but elsewhere, you know, it would make sense. If we're talking multiverse, right? Then there's the, what are the chances of some tinker and you know, wizard or whatever building a better golem, right? This golem is cool. It does its job of guarding the place, but what if I want a companion? I need something that can speak and learn, and this is my opportunity to create just that.
Are you calling Warforges idiots?
No, I'm saying that on one hand, in Eberron, right, they created the Warforge to fulfill a purpose.
Okay.
Wouldn't one of the other, like a multiverse, kind of insinuates that there's multiple planes or whatever have you, right? So wouldn't the same idea pop up somewhere in the multiverse? And whereas it wouldn't necessarily be called Warforge, it would probably be the same thing, much like this.
I can see that.
So it's a different version of the Warforged that cropped up on a different plane of existence.
Right.
Makes sense. Which is why they don't have the same abilities like the Warforged.
Yeah, they don't have all of them yet.
Right.
I was just playing a devil's advocate, that's all.
I'm saying that a golem is not like, I mean, it's an animate conglomeration of different fleshy parts or metal or stone or whatever have you, but you know, you can look at a golem and go, it'd be cooler if I could talk to the golem and it responded, or I could teach it,
talk or it could be my traveling. Walk with the golem.
Sort of like what we do with you.
Why do you have such a hard time being nice?
That was just nice.
I mean, like...
He could have called you a bald golem.
What the rest of the world considers nice, not what Lewis considers nice.
And we're moving on. Somewhere in the multiverse, there is a nice me.
Somewhere. Not this one. But somewhere. Wouldn't even recognize him.
By that same law, somewhere in the universe, there's a not grumpy Bill.
And so with that said, there'd be a Bill and a Scott with hair.
Possibly.
I hope you're letting that hair rage, Multiverse Scott. Let it rage. We got a new cleric subclass.
New clerics.
Someone's got to battle the Borg, right? This is the Fate Domain.
I like this one.
This is pretty cool. The gods of fate, right? They perceive the future, how choices mortals make drive them towards their destinies. Some think it's preordained, the future, while others understand that the multiverse is a place of infinite possibilities. So these clerics that draw their power from the forces of fate sometimes receive visions directly from the deity and receive fleeting omens of the future. They share impossible knowledge with their allies and prophesize their enemies' doom. And that could be pretty entertaining to play something like that.
Well, that'd be your oracle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking.
Yeah, there's the same no oracle. I don't think there is an oracle class anywhere.
Not anymore, no.
No, not anymore, yeah. But yeah, this is basically your oracle.
Yeah. And there's a lot you can. See, I've said this before. I think all of us have. You should role play the shit out of these. Like, if you're going to be an automaton or a mechanical being that was granted sentience, role play the shit out of it. You know, this is an awesome opportunity to be like, you know, a metal Pinocchio.
Well, that would be fun as hell, because you start off, you know, you gain knowledge through your experiences. So you start off like a child.
Yeah. Yeah.
A really big child, but.
Yeah. And you're learning, you know, social skills, and you're learning the way of the people that you adventure with, you know, it's, and you're going to want to, you know, try things like clothes. How come I'm the only naked one here?
Or am I? Or, why do I need clothes?
Right. It's all these different things. You know, what's the value of one style of clothes over the other? Why do we hold value in this more so than that when both provide the same function? Experimenting with eating and stuff like that.
I was just about to say,
like that.
Explain eating.
Yeah.
Why?
And the same is true for this fate domain cleric, right? Imagine being someone who, now it doesn't say that you're asking for these fleeting images.
Right. This is true.
They could be coming in the middle of the night and waking you up. They could be disturbing. You may be seeing images of your own demise, the demise of your companions or one or all of them. You can have a really good time with this as a DM.
Well, especially as you can give them a vision, and as they try to act against that vision, you give them a new vision. Because, like I say, sometimes it's preordained, but sometimes you can alter your fate by your actions. So if you make a concerted effort to change the outcome of a vision that you've had, and then you're granted a new vision. Now, it doesn't mean it's better, but it'd be different.
Right.
But will the outcome be the same?
Or maybe you delay it. You know, maybe you delay this or like that whole,
expediate it.
Or expediate it. Yeah, like Final Destination. You've cheated death, or you've cheated this, that, or the other thing for now.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually it's going to come around. And eventually maybe all of that stuff that you cheated is coming around at the same time, which makes for an awesome finale to a campaign.
This is true.
There's a ton of growth that you can... Yeah, you can have just a good time with this as a DM. And certainly, hopefully, if you role play this character, you can really have a good time with it as a player. But make it more than a paper doll. You know, make it a real person. Put yourself in their shoes. What would it be like to be plagued with this? It may be seen as a gift by some, but it may not seem that way to you.
You might see it as a curse.
Yeah.
You know, why can't I just have a thought of my own? Why do I have to see everyone else die over and over and over?
Or just the people around you may see it as a curse. They may say you're a witch.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or you bring bad luck because all you ever say is bad things. Oh, this one's going to die. That one's going to die. Oh, this is... There might be some boons in there as well. And you should... There should be. There should be the trade-off. That, you know, fate doesn't necessarily mean it's always bad.
Right, and
that's what people focus on.
Yeah, and you can balance like the grim stuff with the more lighthearted things. Like, if I'm playing a rogue in the party, me and the Fate Domain cleric, we're going gambling. Right, we're playing the lottery, we're playing cards, we're playing, you know, we're throwing the bones, something. But yep. And you can balance it off. You know, the heavy stuff with the more lighter things, and that can be extremely impactful as well, because that's where like these bonds are made between party members. And I always like that, because if someone in the party dies, and I like permadeath, I don't like this comic book death thing where they're dead. Yeah. They'll be back in 10 issues. No, you're dead. You're dead. I want people crying.
Been there, done that.
Yep. Now you get some new domain spells. They're not all of them are new, but at first level, you get Dissonant Whispers and Heroism. Third level, see Invisibility, Warding Bond. And there's Beacon of Hope and Clairvoyance at fifth. Death Word and Divination at seventh. And ninth, it's Commune and Geas. Or Geas. I never know how to say that.
Geas.
Why don't you tell us about omens and portents, Lewis?
Of course, I don't have my glasses on, so you're going to make me read this. Now, let me blow it up a little bit. Hold on.
Some people cleverly conceal their glasses on their face.
Easier to find that way.
Yeah, just saying, but go ahead.
Mine stay in the car.
Do you have a big enough screen to blow it up?
Yes, I do.
You want to put it on Pado Vision?
I wouldn't be able to see it
from
like here.
80 font?
I'm at 130 right now. Omens and portents. You can perceive signs of the future in everyday objects and events, such as flights of birds or ripples made in water by a thrown stone. You can cast the augury spell without expanding a spell slot, and when you cast a spell in this way, the spell has no verbal, somatic, or material components. Once you cast the spell in this way, you cannot do so until you finish a long rest. In addition, until you finish a long rest, when you cast a divination spell that includes a chance that the DM gives you no answer or random reading, such as augury or commune or divination, reduce that chance by 25%.
There you go.
I feel like you could have a good time with this. You know, your Fate Domain cleric's always snatching, like, empty teacups from people to read the tea leaves, watching the way the leaves fall off the trees. You know,
I'd be a palm reader just because people get creeped out when you touch their hands. especially when you don't tell them what you're doing.
I'd be creeped out.
Yeah.
Not saying that I do that. I'm just speculating, of course.
The ties that bind. This is pretty cool. It's a first level fate domain feature. You can temporarily tie your fate to others. As an action, you can touch one object or creature and magically tie a strand of fate from yourself to it for 1 hour or until you use this feature again, like while you're reading their palm.
There you go.
An unwilling creature must succeed on a wisdom saving throw against your spell save DC to resist the effect. While the target is bound to you and on the same plane of existence as you, you can sense the direction to the target's location, and you know the direction of its movement if it is in motion. And in addition, once per turn, when you cast the spell, using a spell slot to deal damage or restore hit points to the target, roll a d6, and the target receives extra damage or healing, respectively, equal to the number rolled.
That is pretty cool.
That is really, really neat.
Well, that ties into that whole palm reading thing real well.
Yeah, and if your character is like Quentin Tarantino, you could be a foot reader.
The toes tell all. Andrew would play that class.
Wow.
Inside joke.
Yes. Channel.
He's going to hate us for that.
Yeah, he will. We'll get a strongly worded text message. Channel Divinity, Strands of Fate. You get that at second level. Your channel divinity can be used to manipulate strands of fate that weave around other individuals. As a bonus action, you can enter the state for up to a minute or until you lose your concentration. As basically as if you were concentrating on a spell. For the duration, whenever another creature you see makes an attack roll or an ability check, you can use a reaction to give the roll advantage or disadvantage. Your choice.
I've seen this ability used a couple other times in some other classes.
Yeah, something similar.
I think the Bard has it. The Chronomage has it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's one other one. I can't think. I think one of the monks have. No, maybe not. I can't remember, but I think maybe it's one of the monks that has something similar to this.
I know it's cropped up a couple times.
It's a cool feature. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Very much so. I think this probably makes more sense in this application than some of the others.
Yeah, the only one I see it making perfect sense in is the Chronomage.
The Chronomage, yeah, yeah. Because you're kind of
dealing with time.
Slowing down time or speeding up time.
A Chronomage with a Fate Cleric would be an awesome pair-up.
Ooh, that could be dangerous. Insightful Striking, a sixth level. It's a bonus action. You can choose one creature you see within 30 feet of you. Your magic grants you a brief vision of the target's defenses. Until the end of your next turn, you gain one of the following effects of your choice. The next time you make an attack roll against the target, you roll a d6 and add the number rolled to the total. The next time the target must make a saving throw against a spell you cast, the target must roll a d6 and subtract the number rolled from the saving throw. So once again, that's tied as a bonus action, and you can use it as many times as your proficiency bonus. So that's another little interesting little...
That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is pretty neat.
Then you get up to eighth level, potent spell casting. You add your wisdom modifier to the damage you deal with any cleric cantrip.
That's nice.
That's a quick little one, but that's cantrips. That's a fairly...
Flame strike.
Yeah, that's a very encompassing little bonus there. Then jumps to visions of the future at 17th level. Your knowledge of the future allows you to guide an individual to achieve their greatest possible success. You can cast the Foresight spell once without expending a spell slot. When you cast a spell in this way, the spell's duration is 1 minute for that casting. Once you cast the spell in this way, you can do so. You can't do so again until you finish a long rest. So,
yeah, pretty cool stuff with the Glitchling and with the Fate Domain Cleric. But how would you play a Glitchling?
I started formulating a vision in my head already. So what appears to be a frail little old man out there telling fortunes, you know, with cards and tarot and whatnot, but the palm reading seems to be the one thing he does the best. And in doing so, he probably is an informant for either the ruling class, maybe the constabulary, maybe a thieves guild.
He's talking fate cleric?
Fate cleric.
Okay. Yep.
So he'd kind of like is, I'd play him as like an undercover for some larger organization. out on the streets, just kind of like that old man that goes around and everyone's always, he's harmless. He's just a crazy old man and tells your future. But, you know, every once in a while, he kind of nails it. Or maybe he has a reputation of being the crazy old man, but he's more right than he's wrong. And maybe he's sought out by people. But I could see that as a game master, maybe as an NPC or as a player, try to work something out in his background where he works with one of the larger organizations as a, like an undercover informant, because he is so good at what he does. I still like the palm reading thing because, you know, it just, as it creeps people out when an old man grabs your hand and starts telling you about things about your future and, you know, slowly strokes your forearm. And
I'm already creeped out.
Yeah, it's kind of skeevy.
I think I've seen it in a movie.
I would go with like a Nostradamus style character, but he's fucking nuts. And he's constantly seeing visions of the future and like bizarre things. Like if you're on your way through the woods or through a pasture and there's a dung heap, he's stopping to check out that dung heap. Because the swirling pattern of the poo is going to tell him something. It's going to be a vision of some sort that comes from that. He'd have to look like Giorgio Tsoukalos, though, from Ancient Aliens, you know, with the anime hair and the scarf, the whole nine yards.
There you go.
And he would just, like, in the middle of a conversation, zone out.
Something would catch his eye.
Yeah, so he's, like, he's looking at it, you know, and he's seeing visions of the future, and he just zones out, and then he comes right back.
Staring at a spider web, maybe a swirl of water in a puddle.
Yeah.
If someone just stepped into the puddle, and he'll stare at the person, he'll stare at the puddle, stare at the person, stare at the puddle. Wait, I have something to tell you.
Yeah, and he'd be kind of socially inept. You know, like, don't be too attached to that child. You're going to be disappointed. Things like that. You know, so his companions are always like, dude, what's with you? No, don't tell people these things. It's upsetting.
Walking by a temple as a couple's getting married. Well, it was a nice try.
It's not going to last. Yes, don't send him out for milk and a pack of cigarettes.
That is kind of creepy, too.
Yeah. I think I could have a lot of fun with that. What about you, Lou?
I would use my guy as an NPC more than as a player character because he would be the oracle that everybody comes to find out anything about war or anything, but he would do it by sacrificing animals. Read their innards, read the bones, and read how the blood spills down the stairs. More like Aztec or Mayan.
So it'd be like a gross.
Yes.
Kind of, yeah, the animal.
So we have gross, creepy, and crazy. Yay! We're the DM's favorites. And we wonder why there's no women playing at our table.
Yeah. Well, we're not wondering anymore.
That's in this multiverse, or in this version of the multiverse.
What about a glitchling? Like you're playing a glitchling character. What class would you choose for a glitchling?
That I was been thinking about that. The only class, because he's a learning class, at least for me, mm-hmm. would have to be because he's learning as he's going along. And if you're starting at level between 1 and 3, he doesn't know a lot.
Correct.
So it would have to be fighter. But he would be, you know, if he hits him, doesn't realize how hard he hits him because he doesn't know his own strength yet. And he's still learning along the ways because I can't see somebody, at least in my vision, in those early levels being a caster of some sort or a druid or something like that.
You don't
like
see
that.
Him being as a cleric making tons of mistakes or doing it correctly but no bedside manner. You know, instead of just, oh, well, we'll just put a couple of sticks. Oh, get me a hot iron. I need to cauterize this. It's a splinter. It's bleeding. It needs to be cauterized. You know, it does everything a little overboard until he realizes
that's a lot overboard.
Yeah, like, oh, that looks bad.
A tourniquet for everything.
I'm amazed you're still alive. Yeah, no.
Your party won't come to you for healing.
Maybe they don't have a choice. You're all they got.
Yep.
And you're learning. They're learning too.
Yes.
But yeah, just maybe a little overcompensation or undercompensation for everything until you learn the finesse necessary to treat just, I mean, it always works. You get your points back. Most of them, maybe, you know, hey, you got 5 points back, but we're going to make that 4 because he inflicted
a little bit of damage
along with the cure until he, you know, so I could see a cleric going that route.
And
try to learn how to deal with these squishy people.
I still like the idea of a child mind in a grown man's body doesn't realize how much damage he can really do.
Yep.
It's just like when little kids come up and kick you in the shins.
Yeah.
They don't realize how hard, much that hurts. So that's how I see this guy.
I would take their ball away. They'll never come back in the yard. You'll never get kicked.
There's a lot of balls in the Lyceum.
And not just ours.
I was going to say, that can go south so, so quickly.
And there it went. I would do a warlock. I would do a warlock, and my patron would be the equivalent, like, of a battery. Like, my spells would come from the magic energy that I have inside me, but in casting them, it would deplete my own energy. So I will need to recharge myself, so my warlock patron would be, like, this funky, steampunky-looking magical battery.
That's a fucking cool idea. I like it.
So there's a couple different ways to play it.
Yeah. And this is a big, meaty UA, so...
Part two coming?
Why don't we do a part two?
We will do a part two. And that's Unearth Arcana. When is it a multiverse? Part one. We'll see you next time in the dojo.
That's going to conclude this episode. Thanks for tuning in and listening. Please subscribe to the podcast for more great content. If you'd like to hear a particular topic, you can reach us on Facebook at the Dungeon Masters Dojo. Or you can drop us an email at thedungeonmastersdojo@gmail.com. Thank you, and have a good day.